Good morning. Our reading this morning comes from Psalms 42 and 43. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquietened within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquietened within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and please plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. We thank God for his word this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that although we cannot meet in person, we can meet together around your word this morning. We ask that as we prepare for the time when we can meet again in Waterside, that you will give us great wisdom and help. We ask too that the people of the United Kingdom will act wisely in their newfound freedoms too. We ask that you will continue to keep us safe and well. We pray for our Prime Minister, his cabinet and all their advisers in the leadership that they give day by day. We do ask this morning for your blessing on our brother Mick as he recovers from surgery. And for those loved ones and those known to us who have special needs at this time. We thank you too for your precious gospel and pray for all who share the good news of Jesus in a variety of ways today. We pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire the preaching of your word and use what is said to bring others to trust and follow you. Build up your people through your word too, we pray. We also pray that you'll protect those who are persecuted because of their faith in Christ. And now as we turn to your word, O Lord, speak to us, we pray, and help us as we think through and apply your word to our lives day by day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we turn to Psalm 42 and also touch on Psalm 43, I've given my talk the title this morning, A Levite in Lockdown. Some psalms reflect the greatness and goodness of God and are full of praise and worship. But sometimes we come across the psalm that's very different. And Psalm 42 is one of those. The psalmist was feeling really down, depressed and utterly miserable. You see that in the chorus that he repeats three times in verses 5, 11 and then again in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? He was so sad that he had to say in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. Indeed, he was so choked by his tears that he could hardly eat. In verse 10, he felt totally crushed. Here we find a man of God who was really struggling. I wonder whether any of us can identify with the psalmist here. Maybe we know what it is to feel deeply unhappy, perhaps deeply hurt or downcast. I wonder what we can learn from this psalm. Firstly, this psalm is described in the heading as a maskil. The New King James Version of the Bible translates that as a contemplation. Many others translate it as a poem of instruction. A poem written to instruct us, to educate us, to guide us, and to help us. Secondly, it is a maskil of the sons of Korah. This could simply mean it belonged to their collection of psalms. But I believe it is more likely that it means that it was written by one of them. Some think that this psalm is a psalm of David from the time when he had to flee from Jerusalem during the time of his son Absalom's rebellion against him. But it could equally have come from the pen of one of the sons of Korah. But who were the sons of Korah? Korah and his descendants were Levites. You may well remember that during the time of Moses, the Levites were set apart from the other tribes of Israel to serve God. One family from among the Levites, the family of Aaron, were chosen to serve as priests, and the remainder of the Levites were engaged in the more practical roles in the tabernacle and later the temple of God. For example, during the time of the tabernacle, they were used to transport the tabernacle when it was moved from place to place. One family within the Levite tribe, the family of Korah, were recognized as sacred musicians and served the Lord in that role. And a number of psalms bear their name. But what was their great joy? Their great joy was to go with the people of Israel up to Jerusalem for the great festivals we read about in the Old Testament. Then what was stopping them? Some of the Korahites, as part of the Kohathites, lived and served the Lord among the northern tribes of Israel. However, after the reigns of David and Solomon, the kingdom was divided. There was a division between the northern tribes and the southern tribes. The southern tribes remained loyal to King David and had Jerusalem as their capital. But those in the north were separated. But worse was to come. King Jeroboam, the king of the north, set up two golden calves, one in Dan, one in Beersheba, and ordered the people of the north to worship there and not to go up to the temple in Jerusalem. Rather like the situation we find ourselves in at the moment, there was a lockdown. Bearing in mind Psalm 42 was a maskil of the sons of Korah, I'm inclined towards the view that this psalm is placed against that background. The writer was deeply distressed. In verses 1 and 2, we sense his deep love for the Lord, his love for the temple in Jerusalem, and his love for the Lord's people. But now, instead of going to Jerusalem, he was being told to go either to Bethel or Dan and worship at the shrine of a golden calf, something he found deeply offensive and upsetting. And what a poor substitute it was for his regular place of worship, the place where God had ordained that his people should gather for the great festivals each year, where God had promised to meet with his people, and where the people were encouraged to go to inquire of the Lord. And so he cries out in verse 1, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." Clearly there had been times when in the countryside he had watched the deer panting in its thirst for water, perhaps even standing at the top of an aqueduct, unable to get down to drink the water there. And that perfectly illustrates how he felt as he longed once more to worship in the temple and to meet with the people of God. At this time of lockdown, do you feel like that? In verses 3 and 4, he gives us a further insight into his sadness. As I mentioned at the beginning, he was so sad that he says in verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night." He was so choked by his tears, he could hardly eat. To add to his grief, those around him were taunting him, saying, "Where is your God? Where is this God you worship? The great creator, the great saviour, the great deliverer you have often told us about. our Saviour also suffered taunts. And as his people, we must not be surprised if we face them as well. In verse 4, the psalmist remembers the days when things were so different. When, like one happy family, the people of God would go up to Jerusalem to worship. When joy and praise and anticipation of the coming feast day dominated their thinking and conversation. But now all that had given way to taunting and mocking, and the psalmist wept. I wonder, do we love God? Do we love the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, so much that when we meet people who are so lost or have wandered so far from the Lord that they engage in taunting, mocking and blasphemy, we weep? As Jesus wept over Jerusalem, do we ever weep for others? But worst of all, it seems as if God had forgotten him and rejected him. He says, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken, why have you forgotten me? Have you ever felt that God has forgotten you? But we must not forget that this psalm is a maskil. It is a poem written to instruct us. Three times the psalmist asks the question, why are you cast down, O my soul? But each time he answers the question with the words, hope in God. Up to that point, he had allowed everything to grieve him, to make him sad and unhappy. As he remembered those great times when he had gone with the crowd to the great feasts in Jerusalem, he allowed his memories to make him sad. As he looked around and listened to the voices of those who taunted and mocked him, he allowed that to discourage him too. And to be perfectly honest, humanly speaking, that is a very natural reaction. But now, as he writes this maskil, he doesn't simply look back to those blessed times from the past. He remembers the great God he worshipped. And what a great God the Old Testament feasts portray. Those great feasts portray the God who had brought them out of Egypt, the God who had led them through the desert, the God who had brought them into the promised land, who had given to them a land flowing with milk and honey. This psalmist longed that he would one day be able once more to go up to Jerusalem, go up to these great feasts, and serve and worship God there. But for the time being, he would remember God where he was, and in the circumstances in which he found himself. So now in verse 6 he is able to say, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Indeed, wherever in the land he found himself, he would remember his God. Then in verse 7, he brings everything into perspective. On the one hand, yes, he felt overwhelmed as one wave of disappointment followed another. but now he recognised that these were God's waterfalls, God's waves. He calls them your waterfalls, your waves. The psalmist could see that whether God had planned what had happened or had simply permitted it, God was still in control. But more than that, God was with him. And so he says in verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. We can mistakenly think that God is only in a situation where everything is going smoothly and we are happy and at peace. But he is in the difficult times too, sometimes testing us and sometimes testing those who make life difficult for us, working out all things according to his perfect plans and purposes, and for the good of those who love him. The psalmist recognized this, and in verse 1 of chapter 43, calls on God to vindicate him, to plead his cause, and to deliver him from deceitful and unjust men. In the meantime, he would be transparent before God. He would pray to God because he had an unshakable faith in God. Indeed, God is his rock. But he would also like to understand why God appeared to have forgotten him, and why he was suffering the taunts of his enemies. But he will not stop there. And so he repeats his refrain in verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Indeed, his hope really takes off in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 43. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. I cannot help but wonder whether Psalm 84, again coming from the sons of Korah, is a postscript to this psalm. And the psalmist there, having gone through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, is delighted once more to be in his place of worship. Indeed, he is so thrilled that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than anywhere else on earth. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Amen.